Yeah, welcome all of you once again. Thank you everyone for joining today's Bhakti Sangha session. Today's class will be given by His Grace Jayadvaita Maharaj. So I would like to hand over the call to Prabhuji to give a small introduction.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All gurus to Srila Prabhupada. Please welcome His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj in today's Bhakti Sangha Japa conference. Maharaj is editor, writer, publisher, teacher. He is the disciple of His Divine Grace Abhaycharanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He received his initiation at the age of 18 in 1968. He has been serving Srila Prabhupada in many ways, but mostly in the areas of book publishing and also editing. He has initially started working as stapling the books for the Srila Prabhupada's divine books. He practically worked in all aspects of book publications. He is prominently acting as an editor in many books. He has been giving classes and guiding in various schools, colleges, universities, institutions, temples, and he has been practically traveling to all parts of the world. He has visited more than 68 countries. He has acted in Bhaktivedanta Book Trust as administrator, editor. He has also managed the Back to Godhead books for many years. And we are very fortunate to have the association and guidance of His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj. So please welcome him by saying three times Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. So Mataji, please spotlight Maharaj. And Maharaj, please welcome and take the forum, please. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You can, Dandavas Pranam, please, you can take over the call, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
And there's a couple of microphones that can be muted. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 4:29:29. Kuchit puman kuchit chastri kuchindo bhayam andati devo manushas tiryagva ita karma gunam bhavaha. And I won't recite the word for word. There, it's there. You can see it. Covered by the mode of ignorance in material nature, the living entity is sometimes a male, sometimes a female, sometimes a eunuch, sometimes a human being, sometimes a demigod, sometimes a bird, an animal, and so on. In this way, he is wandering within the material world. His acceptance of different types of bodies is brought about by his activities under the influence of the modes of nature. Purport. Actually, the living entity is part and parcel of the Lord. Therefore, he is spiritual in quality. The living entity is never material, and his material conception is simply a mistake due to his forgetfulness. He is as brilliant as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both the sun and the sunshine are very brilliant. The Lord is like the full shining sun, and the living entities are like the small particles of that sun, which constitute the all-pervasive sunshine. When these small particles are covered by the cloud of Maya, they lose their shining capacity. When the cloud of Maya is gone, the particles again become brilliant and shining. As soon as the living entity is covered by the ignorance of Maya or darkness, he cannot understand his relationship with the Supreme God. Somehow or other, if he comes before the Lord, he can see himself as shining as the Supreme Lord, although he is not as extensive as the Lord. Because the living entity desires to imitate the Supreme Lord, he is covered by Maya. We cannot imitate the Lord, nor can we become the Supreme Enjoyer. This is not possible, and when we think it is, we become conditioned by Maya. Thus, the engagement of the living entities under the clutches of Maya is brought about by forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. Om Kaanatimiran Tasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Shapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sadimam Sadvaitam Savatutam Pradishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pratehe Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vancha Kulpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the living being is part of Krishna, Mamivamsa, but Manashastan Indriyani Praktistan. He becomes bewildered by the false ego and he thinks that he is the body, thinks that he's a product of matter, forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then in this way is covered by Maya, or the illusory energy. So the whole project is to revive his spiritual nature, his remembrance that he's an eternal part of Krishna, eternal servant of Krishna. Yes. Under the influence of Maya, the living entity becomes exactly like a person haunted by a ghost. Such a person speaks all kinds of nonsense. When the living entity is covered by the influence of Maya, he becomes a so-called philosopher, scientist, politician, or socialist, and at every moment presents different plans for the benefit of human society. All these plans are ultimately failures because they are illusory. In this way, the living entity forgets his position as an eternal servant of the Lord. He instead becomes a servant of Maya. In any case, he remains a servant. It is his misfortune that by forgetting his real contact with the Supreme Lord, he becomes a servant of Maya. So in the Prema Vivarta, it's said, Pishachi Pile Jaina Motichanna Hoy Maya Grashta Jiver Hoy She Pavodai. So the conditioned soul is like a person haunted by a ghost. And when haunted by a ghost, a person speaks all kinds of nonsense. So he becomes a scientist, philosopher, a businessman, a politician, a socialist, a this or that. And he has so many ideas, so many plans, so many notions about benefiting human society by this way or that way. And it's all like the talk of a person haunted by a ghost. He doesn't know who he is. He's under some other influence, thinking he's something he's not. So he's Maya Grashta. He's captured by Maya. He's a servant after all. So if he's not serving Krishna, then he has to serve Maya. All these plans are ultimately failures. As a servant of Maya, he sometimes becomes a king, sometimes an ordinary citizen, sometimes a Brahmin, a Shudra, and so on. Sometimes he's a happy man, sometimes a prosperous man, sometimes a small insect. Sometimes he's in heaven and sometimes in hell, sometimes a demigod, sometimes a demon, sometimes a servant, sometimes a master. In this way, the living entity wanders all over the universe. So that's stated in the verse. Kwachit puman, kwachit chastri, kwachin no payam andati. Andati means his intelligence is covered by darkness, by ignorance. So sometimes he thinks he's a man. Sometimes he thinks he's a woman. Sometimes, na ubhayam, neither one. Sometimes that would be biological. And these days, it's mental. People can't figure out whether they're supposed to be a man or a woman. Are they both? Are they one? Are they other? Which one? It's now become like a big issue to try to figure out which way I'm really wired. Am I wired as a man? Am I wired as a woman? Am I wired as both? And then sometimes they try to line up the biology, add something, subtract something by surgical operations. So this is another manifestation of andhati, being covered by darkness. He doesn't even know what he is materially, what to speak of his spiritual nature. So these things go on with the progress of Kali Yuga. By the way, there's one researcher in cases of children who seem to remember their past lives. This researcher, a medical doctor, has suggested that gender dysphoria, that is being unhappy with whatever sex you're born into, can be possibly attributed to previous lifetimes. Someone was a woman in the past life, and even in the next life, although born in a man's body, the tendency to want to be, to enjoy like a woman is there, or vice versa. So this is all confusion due to the material energy, however one looks at it. So one wanders all over the universe only when he comes in contact with the bona fide spiritual master can he understand his real constitutional position. He then becomes disgusted with material existence. At that time, in full Krishna consciousness, he regrets his past experiences in material existence. This regret is very beneficial because it purifies the living entity of material conditioned life. He then prays to the Lord to engage in his service, and at that time, Krishna grants liberation from the clutches of Maya. So two important feelings. One is disgust when he comes in touch with the bona fide spiritual master and understands the actual truth of his spiritual identity. He becomes disgusted with material existence. Materialist finds it attractive, wants to enjoy it, has all sorts of hopes and dreams. But the enlightened person becomes disgusted. What am I doing trying to enjoy this rotten material body and the so many things for sense gratification? He becomes disgusted, just like that. Jumunacharya, he said that since I'm enjoying newer and newer pleasure in the service of the Lord, now if I even think about sex life, it's so disgusting that my lips curl and I just want to spit. So this is a sign of spiritual advancement, to become disgusted with material life, not to think, how can I still enjoy, but to become disgusted. What is this material enjoyment? So one thing is to be disgusted with material existence, even to be Indra, to be a demigod, is also disgusting. Still, I'm trying to enjoy this temporary illusory energy. So disgust is one thing, and then regret. To regret one's forgetfulness of Krishna, forget one's having deviated from one's eternal nature, regret one's past sinful activities. This regret, as Prabhupada said, is very purifying. In the first canto, we find that after Parikshit Maharaj insulted the sage Shamak Rishi, when he was returning home, he regretted that I've done something very wrong, very offensive. And Prabhupada said that for the sincere soul, all sinful reactions are burnt up in the fire of repentance. Otherwise, just paying lip service will not be helpful. But from the heart, one should regret having left the service of Krishna and having taken on the useless project of trying to lord it over the material energy. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivihesha gunamayi mama maya duracheya mame vaye prapadyante maya me tam torantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Only by the grace of Krishna can one get out of the clutches of Maya. It is not possible to get out by mental speculation or other activities. When the living entity understands his real position by the grace of Krishna, he keeps himself always fit in Krishna consciousness and acts accordingly. Thus, he gradually becomes completely free from the clutches of Maya. When he is strong in Krishna consciousness, Maya cannot touch him. In this way, in the association of Krishna conscious devotees, the living entity can get free from the contamination of material existence. So by coming under the direction of the spiritual master, he begins proper bhajan, bhajana kriya, and in the association of devotees. And that keeps him fit. He chants 16 rounds a day. He follows four regulative principles. He engages in the service of the deity. He limits his food to only Krishna prasadam. In different ways, he takes up the practice of reformation. Now that he's regretted, he's realized that the material world is actually a disgusting place, and he's regretted his attempt to independently enjoy. Now he takes up the method for reformation under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. And by following these regulative principles, anartha nivritti, the unwanted things within the heart become cleansed away, then he develops a strong faith in Krishna, a taste for Krishna consciousness, ecstasy, love of God, everything. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Tate Krishna Bhaje Kore Guru Shepam Maya Jala Chute Pai Krishner Churon. In the Krishna conscious state, the living entity engages in devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master. In this way, he gets out of the clutches of Maya and takes shelter under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila. So this is what we need to do to recognize that we're wandering around, sometimes a man, sometimes a woman, sometimes a bug, sometimes a demigod, sometimes this, sometimes that, but under the in ignorance. So, and how is that going on? Yata karma gunam. According to our karma, we're sometimes getting one situation, sometimes another situation. But we have to free ourselves. And that method is the Krishna conscious method, to free ourselves from material association. Means the association of the material energy. Mukta sanga param vraje. Kalir dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahanguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param vraje. Kali Yuga is just an ocean of faults, but the one very good thing is that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, mukta sanga, one becomes freed from our unnecessary association with Maya. And parambrajate, one can fully revive one's Krishna consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. So that's indicated here. Maybe I'll stop and see what kind of questions there might be. For which you can either put a question in the chat box or unmute yourself and just ask. Maybe you can raise a hand, but I don't know if anyone's looking at the raised hands. That is the advantage of Zoom, that people can ask. Yes, no love. Or there are several people who are unmuted, but unless you have something to say, you might as well be muted.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, can I ask a question?
Yes.
This is Abhiram Takadas. So Maharaj, so my question is, when we are struggling with the Maya and not able to focus and concentrate, what is our best way to understand that we are offensive and we are making aparads to Vaishnavas and not able to do our sincere services? So what's the way to identify that? And if we identify, is it required to just repent, or it is required to go and beg forgiveness from the Vaishnavas we are offending?
When we're sort of not making progress because there's an offensive mentality, or we've committed offenses to Vaishnavas, how do we realize that and what do we do? Is that the question?
Yes. And if we realize we are making offenses, is it repentance is rest required and then corrective action is also required, but it is also required to go and beg forgiveness from the person who we offended?
That's part of your corrective action. Otherwise, how have you corrected it?
So the corrective action is not complete if we don't beg the forgiveness.
Sure, that's required. That I offended you, but I'm not going to apologize or beg forgiveness. I'm just going to be good from now on. That's not the method. Even in the material world, among cultivated people, if I offend you in some way, then I have to acknowledge that, apologize, ask for forgiveness. That's even in the material world. And what to speak of the Vaishnava world or the spiritual world. It's very, very much necessary. So one realizes these things, of course, by chanting sincerely, by having an introspective mentality. That is to say, we should look within ourselves and see, what are my faults? Most people are good at looking at other people's faults, but one should turn that magnifying glass within and look for our own faults. That will be helpful. Then we may see that, yes, I've offended this person or I've offended that person. And naturally, we should regret that. Otherwise, just to apologize, make a show of apology, while really I think, you know, he had it coming. I said the right thing. He was a jerk. He had it coming to him. And that kind of apology, insincere apology, or rather apologizing with that same mentality, keeping that mentality, will be seen as superficial or hypocritical. But we should regret our mistakes and then beg forgiveness. If I didn't mention it before, the other way that we detect our mistakes is by the association of devotees. If we have genuine friends and devotee associates with whom we have a confidential relationship, then they can tell us, Prabhu, you offended the devotee. Prabhu, you did this thing, you did that thing. Prabhu, don't mind, but. So they can help us if we don't have our own sufficient introspective power. Then from externally, they can tell us specifically, you did this or you did that. Of course, remembering the spiritual master's instructions and so on, that counts as helpful. Reading the books will instruct us. That will be helpful. All of these things will be helpful. Is that okay?
Continuation of the same question, Maharaj. Many times devotees are afraid of giving feedback because they are afraid that by giving feedback, they may commit Vaishnava aparad. So shall we give feedback only when someone is seeking feedback, or it is our duty as a Vaishnavas and devotees that we also give feedback to someone we feel is happening, these kind of mistakes are happening?
Well, you have to see the relationship, first of all. We don't generally don't give feedback to our superiors, for example. But to our juniors, it's our duty. Prabhu, you know, our sons, our disciples, or the people under us, it's our duty to guide them. And with our friends also, it may be an act of friendship to submit to them in a humble way, that this is what I've seen. I don't know what you think, but you might consider. So therefore, one is advised to develop loving relationships, priti lakshanam. Then one is advised to behave differently, to recognize where one stands in relationship to other devotees. Who's junior, who's on the same level, who's superior, who's not a devotee, who's innocent. So the demons will avoid, the innocent people will try to enlighten. The superiors, we won't advise them, we'll seek their advice. Shushushaya bhajana vigyam ananyamanya nindari shunya hridam ipsitam sangalabhva. We should serve them and get their corrective advice. And with the equals, we should have friendship, and friendship means that we can disclose our mind to them, they can disclose their mind to us. And to the juniors, one should be merciful. So merciful also means that sometimes we correct them or guide them. And there are different ways to do that, some of them more tactful than others. But if we see that a person is going in the wrong direction, just to watch is not really an act of kindness, but to try to help the person is what we want to do. Is that all right?
Thank you, Maharaj. Yes, thank you.
And there's a question. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances and all goes to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. This is Neel Madhav Das from Charlotte. I have two questions, Maharaj. First question is, this is the Purushottam month, and if you can tell us significance of this and what should you do, something extra chanting and significance of that. Second question is, I have a bird. We feed the bird at our backyard. And my daughter, she always asks me, how can we feed this sunflower seed as a prasadam to all these birds? So if you can guide us and tell us, please.
Yeah, first thing is, both questions have no connection with what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
So my preference is, before we go on to any other questions, is questions or comments about the subject matter at hand. So maybe we'll come back to your two questions. Is that all right?
Sure. Yeah.
There's a question here. What is the best way to surrender to Krishna? Best way to surrender to Krishna is to surrender to Krishna's representative. To surrender to Krishna will be very difficult business. But to surrender to the person who surrendered to Krishna, that's our recommended method. To surrender to Krishna, just like the government, you know, a person, sometimes he did something, committed a crime, he wants to hand himself in to the authorities. But he can't just hand himself into the government, because what's the government? Or hand himself into the president. But he hands himself over to the suitable representative agency, and they say yes, all right. So, or whatever, you know, if you're not surrendering, you're surrendering your tax money, you can't just surrender it here or there. You have to find the right channel into which to put your taxes. So one has to find the bona fide spiritual master. And through the spiritual master, by surrendering to the spiritual master, one surrenders to Krishna. That's the prescribed method. There's something else? Okay, Purushottam Mas. Prabhupada never really said anything about Purushottam Mas at all. He didn't seem to give it, put it in the spotlight. I never heard anything from Prabhupada at all about Purushottam Mas. But in the Shastras, it said that this is a very auspicious month. And in this month, that is even more auspicious than Kartik. So then whatever spiritual activities you perform in spirit in Purushottam Mas are amplified. That's the summary. Then sunflower seeds. I mean, that's not the most important question in the world, but you can offer sunflower seeds to Krishna. You can, if they're toasted with a little salt, they're nice. Like, you know, like dried fruits and nuts. So sunflower seeds, a little black salt or a little salt, and toasted, they're okay. And the rest can be for the birds.
Thank you, Mother.
Is there an inherent nature to every living being, or is it due to material identification? Sukhasagari asks. Well, our inherent nature is that we're Krishna conscious. That we're, our inherent nature is Jivar Sarupoi, Krishna Nitya Das. Inherently, every living being is a servant of Krishna. But we identify with Maya, with the material energy. And then so many other things are there. We start to think that I'm not a servant, I'm master, or I'm servant of society, I'm servant of my country, I'm servant of my family, I'm servant of my boss. And I forget my inherent nature as servant of Krishna. Does that answer your question, or did you have something else in mind? The natural propensities, someone's interested in music, someone's interested in art, someone's interested in finance, someone's interested in physics, someone's interested in literature, someone's interested in politics, someone's interested in this, someone's interested in that. That has nothing to do with our inherent nature, nothing to do with our eternal inherent nature. It's simply by contact with material energy. By contact with the material modes of nature, sometimes we have a propensity to live like a demigod, sometimes like a pig, sometimes like an insect, sometimes like a man, sometimes like a woman, sometimes like a eunuch, sometimes like this, sometimes like that. That's all by material contact. And the foolish materialists, they, you know, have the idea that they should get in contact with their real feelings or with their real selves, which they identify as their, in terms of their materially acquired qualities. So they just get deeper into the soup, trying to find themselves. And finding themselves means finding their material selves. So that's not very helpful. We should find our spiritual identity. And then for organizing our material nature, the four varnas are there, four ashrams are there. So Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, someone's more studious, someone's has more administrative mentality, someone is economically inclined or inclined toward agriculture, and someone's simply able to serve others. So accordingly, these different occupations are there. Murari Gupta was attached to Lord Ram. Narada sings for the Lord. Yeah, well, attraction to Lord Ram, that has to do with the spiritual nature. That has nothing to do with material identification. Spiritually, he was attracted to Lord Ram. Spiritually, someone else was attracted to Lord Nrisingadev. Spiritually, someone else was attracted to Narayan. Someone else was attracted to some other form of the personality of Godhead. And that's spiritual. Otherwise, everyone has some different talent, some different capability. So they use that in Krishna's service. Narada's singing for Krishna, someone else is writing for Krishna, someone else is making flower garlands for Krishna, someone else is doing pujari work. Is that all right, Maji? Suksagari, is that okay? Okay. How do we come to know that we're free from Maya? When your only business is to serve Krishna, then you're free from Maya. You don't have to separately. What is that? Bhaktir Parasyanu Bhavo Virakti Anyastracha. When you're detached, we're not free from Maya when we're attached to the business of Maya. So practically anyone can tell you, just like Prabhupada was giving the example, that when you've eaten and you're full, no one has to give you a certificate. So you'll know. So by what is that? Prachakshavagamam dharmyam. When you're engaged in Krishna's service, and you're happily engaged in Krishna's service, and you don't want to do anything other than Krishna's service, then you're free from Maya. Something else?
Maharaj, if you permit one more question. So devotees like to do a specific service, like somebody is very good in cooking, somebody is very good in making garland, or someone is good in administration. So how do we avoid attachment to that service itself, or the type of service someone wants to perform?
One thing is, it's not just what I like to do, it's also what the spiritual master wants me to do. I may like to do A, but if he wants me to do B, I should do B, not say, whoa, wait, I like to do A. I might want to, you know, read and read, but if he wants me to collect, or he wants me to build, or he wants me to do something else, then that's my duty. It's not just my duty to do what I like best or what suits my nature, but the first priority is to satisfy the bona fide spiritual master. That should be there. Not that given a choice between what I like to do and what the spiritual master wants me to do, I'll choose what I like. That's not very good. So that's the first thing. Then how do I avoid being attached to what I like to do, even when it is my duty? That one has to be purify the heart by chanting, by hearing, by service, and by remembering that I'm doing this. I'm the cook, or I'm the pujari, or I'm the accountant, or I'm a book distributor, or I'm this and that. But finally, that's for now, as Krishna may desire. But if Krishna desires something else, then I'll give up my engagement for some other engagement. Not that I should be envious that this person, if this person learns how to make flower garlands, then maybe they won't need me for flower garlands anymore. So I have to protect my position by not letting anybody else do it. That's envy. That's envy. And typically we find that in the upper echelons. Someone's posted as president or as trustee or as this post or that post, and he becomes attached and doesn't want to, because the post brings with it all sorts of opportunities for service, for, you know, doing things, maybe for, you know, making large scale, having a large scale impact, or using your creative abilities. And it may bring with it certain prestige or respect or honor. And so one doesn't want to give up, like the politicians, you know, he wants to be a senator till his last day on earth, or he wants to be this or that, and they don't give up their post ever. So that one has to be on guard against. Also, for those who have some particular occupation in the material world, the vanaprastha ashram is there, so that one should, at the appropriate time, 50 years is the standard, give up these engagements and take up the real business of Krishna bhajan as one's main engagement. That's there. There's a place in Bhagavatam where it says no one should be in a political post past the age of 50. So it's an important principle in any kind of organization, actually, that the older executives or older members of the organization should always be looking to bring up the younger members to train and, as the buzzword goes these days, empower, that is, give authority and responsibility to the younger members. Not that I'm the only one who knows how to do it right. If I weren't here, they'd screw up everything. Yeah, these other people are coming up, but they're really very young. They're only 35, and I'm 60, so I have so much more experience. It's our duty to hand things over, which means everything. My material responsibilities, at some point I have to detach myself from, and I may even have to give up my so-called spiritual responsibilities, my big post or my situation in a particular department or place or whatever. I should be ready that, as Krishna may wish, I can do anything. If I weren't doing this service, Krishna will give me another service. Not that I have to wrap my arms around this service and protect it against everybody else, all intruders, and hang on till my last day. That's the miserly mentality of people like Dhritarashtra. So even in the spiritual field, we have to know that I'm sooner or later I'm going to be out of the scene, so I have to train others. Prabhupada wrote to me personally, continue your prescribed duty and train others. So that's an important principle, both for our own detachment and freedom, and for the benefit of the organization, which we think benefits from our 40 years of experience, but is really being held back by having 60 and 70 and 80 year old men in charge who are out of touch with, you know, what's going on in the rest of the world and the younger parts of the world. And it's also important so that the younger men and women get a shot at it. You know, we have to get out of the way so that the younger people can move up. If we just block the territory, then they don't get their opportunity to serve. So the older members have to step aside and leave space for the younger members. That's their duty. And we see that even the Pandavas retired timely. They left behind everything and put the next man on the throne. And then they left. Parikshit and Maharaj is there. We're leaving. Is that all right?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Just by way of free advertising, by the way, there is a Vanaprastha seminar that I'm giving every Thursday. I can give you the link for that. A small and dedicated number of people are attending. Yes. Anyone who wishes to come?
Yeah, Lali.
Yes. Manichi, you had a question?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, sir, please accept our humble obeisances. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your wonderful class. And I was also following our Bhagavatam sessions in Tovaco class. Very nice. So, Maharaj, we value your association because you have been very close with Srila Prabhupada, and we can see that very few people are available here for us to take association from. So my question is, if you can say something about the Mr. Price episode that happened, I think in New York, all of you were planning to buy a building from Mr. Price, and Srila Prabhupada was guiding through the...
I wasn't there at that time.
Oh, okay.
That was before I joined. I joined in 1968. That might have been in the previous year, 66 or 67. So I wasn't there. I can't tell you more than I've read in Prabhupada Lamrita.
Okay, Maharaj.
I will tell you one more thing, that Price is a pseudonym, a false name given for him in the book. His actual name was Mr. Payne. Which is quite a suitable name also.
Thank you, Maharaj. We would be very grateful if you would like to share any other pastimes with Srila Prabhupada.
No, everything's included in, you know, when there's a subject matter, then pastimes come or instructions come. I'm not much for, you know, just telling this incident, that incident.
Thank you.
Anything else related to the class, especially?
Hare Krishna,
Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Go ahead, Maharaj. Go ahead. Dhanvar Pranams, Manat. This is Sagari again. I just had a follow-up question, Maharaj. Many times when we have, when I've listened to the classes by His Holiness Hanumat Prishak Swami Maharaj, he says that every devotee must know one thing, you know, in great detail, and a little about everything else. Like, so that's where I was coming from. So when we say one thing about, you know, one thing in depth and at least a little knowledge about everything else. So is it, is it material or spiritual, Maharaj? Like I see some devotees are naturally taking to cooking, or some are, you know, to some services like that. So is it still material propensity or?
It has to do with this body. You know, some people are by nature endowed with the talents of a cook. Someone's by nature endowed with the talents of a seamstress. Someone's by nature endowed with the talents of a business or manager. Someone's a manager, someone's not a manager. So people have different talents. That comes with the body. Comes with the body to a certain extent. Things can be learned, things can be cultivated. But naturally, according to the body, one has a particular inclination.
Okay, so when you're saying according to the body, so it's still material, that's what I'm understanding.
It doesn't mean that the activity is material. If you're a cook, it's not a material activity when you're cooking for Krishna. If you're a accountant, it's not a material activity when you're doing it for Krishna. But it means that you're using the body that you've gotten for Krishna's service. The Garuda, he's carrying Lord Vishnu. He's got a particular body, so he uses it. He's a bird, so he carries Lord Vishnu in using that body. Hanuman has a particular kind of body, so he uses his capabilities that way. Or Uddhava, he's more, what would you say, a philosopher, a counselor, those sort of skills, right? Pragmatic, thoughtful person. So he uses those skills for Krishna's service. So the skills when engaged in Krishna's service are transcendental, and everyone's recommended to use those capabilities for Krishna's service. Yarutama sloka gunana varnanam. Let's see. Yes. Idam hi vishvam idam hi pumsas tapasashutasya va srishtasya suktasya chabuddhi dattayo avichu torta kavivir nirupito yad uttama sloka gunan varnana. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerities, Vedic studies, sacrifice, chanting hymns, charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined by choice poetry. And then Prabhupada explains, as he explains this verse, he makes the point that we all have these capabilities. Someone's advanced in the cultivation of knowledge, someone's advanced in studies, someone's advanced in austerities, someone's advanced in charity, someone's advanced in poetic abilities, someone's advanced in art, in philosophy, in chemistry, in psychology. So whatever you have a capability in, use that for Krishna. Then it becomes, how is that said? The infallible purpose of these things is then fulfilled. So the fiction writers, poets, and celebrated literateurs are generally engaged in writing of sensuous subjects, but if they turn towards the service of the Lord, they can describe the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Similarly, science and philosophy should be applied in the service of the Lord. So all of these things, whatever you can do, do that for Krishna. And science, art, philosophy, and all similar activities engaged in the service of the Lord are all factually harikirtan, or glorification of the Lord. So whatever you can do may differ according to the gifts you've received. Some people have poetic capabilities, some people are good writers, some people are good singers, some people are good artists, some people are good cooks, some people are good businessmen. Whatever ability you have, use that for Krishna and it becomes spiritual and becomes part of Hari Kirtan. Is that all right?
Sure. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay. And I think we've been here an hour and it's time for me to go.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your valuable association. Yeah. Let us pay our obeisances to Maharaj. Vancha Kalpata Rogyascha.
వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః.